These are the words of our Lord. Ye are salt. Ye are light. What does he mean? Salt is a seasoning agent. We all know this. You probably have a salt shaker on your table. Salt improves the taste of the food that it touches. Christians are salt. As we come into contact with others, friends, family, co-workers, our Christian character should season the environment. Does anybody have an example of how a Christian in an environment seasons the environment?
Your speech. How it talks.
Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, I can. Well, in business, sometimes you get people are used to saying words that shouldn't be saying out in public. And you make it known that you're a Christian, you often can change the way they act and talk. Even if they don't respect being a Christian, they'll respect you for knowing that you're going to uphold that, not allow that conversation to occur, and they'll change the way they speak in public, change what you do.
Have you had the experience? I've had the experience of being in a meeting and somebody was about to go off, and then they seasoning probably made you feel a little bit strange when that happens sometimes. But it's a good thing. Salt makes people thirsty. As Christians, we seek to create a thirst in people's lives that can only be satisfied by the living water. Jesus, who said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." I can remember hauling hay with my cousin in, I think it was hotter than Cambodia, in Louisiana heat and humidity. And one of the things that we used to do to preserve our health was we took salt tablets. And the reason we took those salt tablets was because, well, hauling hay in central Louisiana, humidity and heat, it's kind of like hauling hay in a steam room. Your pores are open and you just sweat profusely. And this is when people would collapse. The electrolyte balance in their bodies would get out of whack because they sweated it all out so quickly. So we would take these salt tablets. And when you took those salt tablets, they made you thirsty. So we would have to have watermelon breaks. And we would go into a shady place and eat some watermelon. Well, Christians are salt. And salt makes people thirsty.
When I was in the hospital, first few days, my doctor, for some reason, put me on a 2 gram sodium diet, which is a very minute amount of salt allowed every day. The food is not cooked with salt, and then there's no salt on the tray. You can't add salt to your diet. And it was so unpalatable, I lost my appetite for the food. So I think another way that we're salt in your salt of the earth is to help people continue to have an appetite for goodness. You know, they've seen goodness in us. Well, two gratitude there. I mean, they see faithfulness and encouragement. They see humor in us that is clean and enjoyable. They see us encouraging others. So without us there, without salt there, the world is unhealthy.
Yeah. a doctor who's a friend of mine, Dr. Campbell, had a patient who told them they were going to live longer. And he said, how are you going to live longer? And they said, I'm going to cut the salt out of my diet. And he said, no, it'll just seem longer. And salt melts ice. You know that we have ice storms here sometimes in the winter time, and I believe it's much more dangerous than the snowstorms that they have in the northern United States, because we get sheets of ice on the road and it's just totally slick. And so what the municipalities will do is they will throw out onto the roads small gravel and sand, and they'll put salt out there. And the reason that they put salt there is because it will melt the ice. Also, if you have an ice cream freezer and you've made homemade ice cream, you know that you put salt on the ice. And why do you do that? You do that to force the ice to melt so that it releases the energy that's in there, the coldness, so that the energy, the coldness, is transferred to the ice cream, or to the cream, and it becomes ice cream. As Christians, we can have the effect of warming hearts that have become cold and hardened against the gospel. Salt preserves food. As a preservative, salt gives food a longer life. And ultimately, with enough salt, those who know Jesus and acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior will have everlasting life. It's like I'm missing a couple of words there. But Jesus said that salt that loses its saltiness is useless. Salt is good, but if that salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? In Luke, he says, it's henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Are there ways that you can think of that you could be more salty?
Salt also irritates. When you sweat goes into your eye, when that's
burns.
Burns. So, true doctrine, burns.
I think just the phrase that you use, salt burns flesh. If we have an ear of Zion, there's a message there.
And sailors were lashes to discipline, and rubbed salt in the wound to disinfect it and help them heal faster.
It wasn't any fun, though.
No. Probably worse than beating. What's it like? Rubbing salt in somebody's wounds in another context.
Jesus not only said, you're salt, Jesus said, you are light. Light shines on dark things and exposes what's there. By the character of our lives and the testimony of our tongues, we shine into the darkness around us and reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light shines into darkness and exposes what is there. And that's the reason why sometimes it can make it very uncomfortable for people to be around Christians. that's not a bad thing. That kind of discomfort is a good thing. Light displaces and diffuses darkness. Dr. Cook, could you talk a little bit about the property of light and how it diffuses darkness? At 186,000 miles per second, light particles rush into the darkest corners, and the darkness is overcome by light. Darkness cannot overcome light. Evidence, 2,010 years of Christianity on planet Earth. The darkness, or the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:5. Light is a key ingredient in growth. Without light, humans become unhealthy and plants die. Everywhere they are, Christians are bringers of light, progress, restoration, and health. Set aside doctrine for a moment and think about the hospitals that you can name in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and think of some of the names of those hospitals. St. Paul, Presbyterian, Methodist. Christians bring light, progress, health, restoration, reconciliation. What else does light do? Light gives people hope that there's more than just darkness. A light that's covered up is ineffective. I was grilling some pork chops last night and I had to have Roy go get me a flashlight because since we monkeyed with the time, it gets dark so early that I couldn't see whether the pork chops were done yet. And if he walked out and he put his hand over the flashlight, it didn't do any good. I might as well not have a light. For the light to be effective, the light had to shine. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Many of you probably learned the song that I learned as a young child in the church. And it said, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus said, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." That's the word of Christ, not the word of Bush. And it's a word of truth. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
There's something else that lets you see who you belong.
chair or see if I can also do the room. Something that I'm aware of because of the darkness.
Yeah. When you come to the light, your evil is exposed so that it can be reproved. As Christians, we shine comfortably or uncomfortably upon the world around us. And just the shining is a reproof for the darkness. My dad was Dr. Payne and Dr. Sessions did a residency in plastic surgery for a while. So he was a country doctor, but I was told he did nice stitches. And I remember as a young one, he would have medicine that was shipped to him in little styrofoam ice chests, and they would pack it in dry ice. And any time he got that dry ice, he was excited. And he would bring it home, and he would take this dry ice, and he would hold it with a paper towel so it wouldn't burn him. And he would get a pocket knife, and he would sharpen it. And then he would say, "Anybody got anything they don't want?" And what he meant by that was he had learned how to take off small moles or freckles, and he would freeze them for just a little while. And then if you've ever had that done, a couple of days later, it'll just kind of slough off. But any time he was going to do that, he had this light. It was on a wheel, and it was one of those lights that you could bend. And he would pull that light over and get it really close to whatever he was working on so that he could see the blemish very, very plainly in the light. And then he would remove it. Another thing about light is it draws bugs. When the true light shines, it always draws some bugs. Are there other things about salt and light that you'd like to share?
Sometimes light can be obscured. I think it's strong. Once you're seeing the sun,
Anybody else? Well, let's pray.
Some Christians have a tendency to be a little too salty or a little full of too much light. That's repelling other than what's attractive and harmful to what's attractive. I think that the only balance of that is having balance or temperate approach when both are applied.
Light can be blinded sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Y'all ever had that Lawry's seasoned salt? That's pretty good stuff, you know? And so I decided that, oh, since a little bit of that stuff was pretty good, then a lot of it would be really good. And so the kids were all gone, so I called Jeannie and said, I'm going to get a couple of steaks. And I hit those things pretty hard, and you could hardly eat them. Too much.
I'll add to my story about being in the hospital on that load, living there. They put this stuff on my tray called salt substitute. Can I just tell you, there is no substitute. if there is, they haven't found it yet and put it on the tray. It's out. It just struck me. There's really no substitute.
Yeah. There's some there's a lesson there about salting in there. Have you ever seen somebody that the first thing they do when they sit down is grab a salt shaker and salt it up before they tasted the food?
That's
offensive to the cook, because I'm not talking about hospital food, but generally the chef or the cook has tried to season the food so that it should be palatable. And then you just tune it up a little bit. There's a time to pour it on and there's a time to withhold. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures and the words of your Son, who's told us that we are salt and that we are light. Oh, Father, we pray that by your grace, would you help us not to hide our light and not to lose our saltiness. But Father, would you help us to joyfully let our light shine before men. And Father, even when it's uncomfortable, would you help us to season the environments where we find ourselves and to preserve life and to create thirst. Oh, Father, we pray that you would use us for the building of your kingdom, for the strengthening of your people, and to call sinners to yourself. We pray that you would be glorified in your people. Would you give us your peace this week, and would you give us true joy in the great things you've done for us? And Father, would you stir us that we might be passionate for you, passionate for one another, people of love. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.